back to The Blank Canvas, a show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm your host for this evening, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget to go to the NAGB website, www.nagb.org.bs. You can find the old shows, but also what you can do is find out what's upcoming, go to the calendar, read the news. You can see upcoming. We have talks, we have movies, we have, you know, shows, we have free guided tours. We have all kinds of stuff happening at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas. And of course, it's just a really fantastic space to be in. So we really encourage you to go. The sculpture garden's open if you don't want to be in an enclosed space with people. There's still art in the garden. There are live things you can listen to about the sculpture through your phone. We have free Wi-Fi in the park. We have free Wi-Fi in the building. So just go to the National Art Gallery, please, because it's free. Did I mention it was free? And it's just a great place to be. And you can see the show, Medicine and Memory, curated by Natalie Willis on the ground floor, which is about our health practices. We also have a solo
which is also available in Creole. The wall texts are also available in Creole.
Yes, important to say, the wall texts are also in French Creole or Haitian Creole. So please come and see that. Lynn Perotti has her solo exhibition of paintings, Inherit the Earth. And then, of course, the show we're here talking about tonight, Floating Rib, which was curated also by associate curator Natalie Willis. And we have two of the artists, Margot Bethel and Kia Poitier, in the studio, or rather all in our own home spaces, still Zooming, but it's somehow working. So I want to get right back in and continue that conversation. Right before the break, Natalie, you mentioned something important that comes out in Kia's work, which is, again, this idea of self-love and self-care. And I think that's something that also you see a lot of in the different works. And even in Margot, I see that in your works too. So I just love to talk about that kind of as a radical practice and like what that means. And Kia, like why you feel that's important to paint about that, to sing about that, to Instagram about that. Like very often you are speaking to these, these acts of self-love and why that's important.
I mean, to be honest, because it's such a new concept in my life, I think people have this impression that I'm just like this happy, self-assured person. But, you know, like everybody else, I've definitely had my struggles. I've truly had my share of hardship. And I think when you grow up with the kind of identity, when you are Black, you are a woman, you want to add queer on top of that, it's just like Miss Girl. How much are you trying to do, right? And so I don't think
like,
people
can't catch a break, mate. Like can't you, catch a break on any level.
And when you grow up in that space, right, there's what people do to you and what they say to you, but there's the stuff that you start to tell yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And so I feel like I had missed out on so many years of truly just accepting myself and being okay in my skin just because I had this narrative of like, oh, you're just bad. You're just a bad thing. Like you're not even really a person. You're just like this weird blob of like Black sinister. No, for real. That's
right.
How people
no, for real.
Treat
though.
You.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize how much I was carrying that until I started to really work through grief, work through therapy, and understand like ways to care for myself because I didn't know how. I truly, I didn't have it modeled for me. My mother worked herself into the ground. You know, like I just did not have this model of like gentle. Purposeful care for myself. It has
how
been
to properly self-soothe and all that as well.
Yeah, not even soothe. I'm talking about taking care of yourself, girl. Besides bathing,
outside
of a bath, that was the extent of which I wanted to care for even my physical body and learning just to care for my spirit, my community, my body, my pet. You know, it has just opened me up to so many different ways of being.
Well, I think very often you spoke to. I think as a woman, you're just expected to suffer, and so you grow up. Being told that's part of your role is to, you know, you're going to have your period. You got to just suck it up. Don't complain about it because you're just going to have it. And you know, when having a baby, that's almost going to kill you, but that's just how it is.
Right.
And so, you know, just deal with it and, you know, look after everyone, be the caregiver for everyone. So again, just as a woman, there's that. And as a Black woman, there's that. And then as you said, as a queer person, there's that because something my daughter pointed out to me, you know, in literature, and I think this happens with people of African descent a lot is like all the stories end badly. And so that's the model you're given, right? It's always, and I think that's then also why some parents have difficulty accepting that's the reality for their kids because no parent wants their child to suffer. So there's a reject. There's like, no, but that can't happen because that's going to end in unhappiness, right? The stories that we're constantly told end in unhappiness.
Yep.
And I think that's what's kind of radical about this
show. Or they end at the beginning. They end at coming out. And it's right. Like, people don't go on to live full lives. So again, when I saw someone like Margo living a full life, having relationships, I'm not going to put you on blast, girl. Having relationships, you know, just living a full experience. I had literally never seen it. I hadn't seen it on TV, especially for a woman. I've seen a lot of gay men in entertainment. Gay women just don't exist. Like, we're not, it's like, you know, we don't know what to do with you, really.
No. And so just unless it's just like a random.
Unless it's like a weird, like, male fantasy sex thing.
Right, exactly, yes. Exactly. Like, male gays on lesbians that are both femme, and like, you know, everybody just somehow randomly just has their tongue in each other's faces all the time.
Yeah,
and it's like, who out here doing that and feeling safe?
I don't know how much of this they're going to, Urka's going to let us keep talking about, but anyhow. But I just think, so again, I think that's why your work is so important, Kia, and you too, Margo, because you're like, you're showing something that has been really been shown, and that's about like joy, and that's as you said, Kia, it's about sort of setting an example of living this life and it being full and it being joyous, and I think that's
and pleasurable, that's
right?
All of that.
The idea of pleasure for Black women, what a novel concept. Oh, I think
Margo was waving her finger. Did you want to hop in there, Margo? Yeah, come on.
Well, that actually, I did want to talk the pleasure. I love that that statement, Kia. And by the way, thank you for I didn't get a chance to say making me cry earlier. thank you for being here, being a witness, and sharing this journey with me as well. You know, all of you. But you know, yes. The in making the piece, and showing and looking at old footage of myself that was I hadn't seen in a long time, I realized that this is something I want to talk about around the hair stuff. Is that I was enjoying getting my hair cut. It felt so good, you know. And part of it, you know, I'm thinking about what is shedding the hair. You know, for a woman, Amanda, you'd mentioned that sometimes it's used to signify a life change. That was true for me. I actually cut my hair before I left the Bahamas, but it made it quite easy for me to go, you know. So I was bald at a young age here before going to Toronto. And, you know, that was interesting. I have some great stories about that, which I won't talk about now. But I just wanted to say that. There are many layered meanings behind these actions that, you know, come into like heavy scrutiny for women. Like, why should it matter? I mean, part of the reason I cut my hair was I wanted to feel what it felt like to just have not be hot on my head. Like, seriously, it was a very practical thing and pragmatic, you know, and easy. But when you reach my age, I'm in my 50s now, it's much more acceptable for women to cut their hair. And women at our age are kind of like, I'm done with pleasing everybody. Many women have, you know, kids and families that they've taken care of their whole lives. And they're just like, look, man, I or woman, you know, you know, I need to feel free and comfortable in the world. And I'm not doing this anymore. So, but when you're young, you know, there's an expectation. And as a woman, your hair is such a big deal, especially to men. And so,
and also, can I mention, like, if you're a biracial woman who happens to have a looser curl pattern, and therefore what people consider to be good hair when you cut your hair, there's also that level of like colorism that makes everything super fun, where it's just so you're just going to insult everybody else and me at the same time. Thanks.
Yeah. It's true. Sorry. They don't get it. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, so I just wanted to say, and also, but allowing ourselves to feel pleasure on many levels, to have a certain level of freedom that men have taken for granted. I mean, you know, really quickly, classic story. I'm on a mail boat back in the day going to Eleuthera, slow boat. And the whole ride, I had my book, the whole ride, two dudes just came one after the other and made a game for like, I don't know, 9 hours of, you know, making the play. And look, that's okay. You know,
it's not okay. It's not okay. Don't do that to people.
But it's also,
it's not okay.
Of my people, but you know, it's like I just wanted to go on the boat and read my book and be able to have that liberty, and I didn't have that liberty, you know,
to just exist.
Just because, you know, I'm a woman. So, you know, this is, I guess, what I'm, you know, I just wanted to
Yeah, no, you're, I mean, listen, you're making a valid point that's still very, you know, we want to think we live in the 21st century. And, you know, again, people are like, why do you still want, you know, you used to run a big institution. What else do you want? You know what I want? The other day, now I work out west, I carry a bathing suit in my car. And I've decided that, like, at least twice a week, I'm just going to jump in the ocean on my way to or from work. Mm-hmm. And actually, I already am thinking, is it safe? When mm-hmm. can I go on the beach by myself? If I go sit on the beach with my book, is someone going to try and hit on me? Even mm-hmm. though I'm an old hag now, there might be someone who's into old hags.
You don't have an expiry date. Women do not have an expiry date. You're good.
I'm joking. But I'm just like, all those thoughts going through your head just to have a swim, you know? And I just think, mm-hmm. And I talked to my husband about it, and he just was like, you know, I realized I've never had to think about any of those things. Mm-hmm. And about, you know, our girls, like walking to the car at night, getting the subway at night. And I'm mm-hmm. teaching them, like, oh, carry your car keys like this and mm-hmm. make sure you have some pepper spray. And my husband's like, what are you teaching them? And I'm like, sweetie, I'm teaching them how to be a woman in this world.
Right. Exactly.
I'm teaching them. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, and to his credit, he was like, oh, my Lord, I never would have realized. Mm-hmm. And I said, honey, every time I walk to my car at night, every time. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, you really hit that on the head, Margo, which is just the ability to just exist in the world. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Just that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry, you go first, Margo.
I was just going to say, and then, you know, it goes sort of up from there, if you like, to eventually feeling okay or good about having pleasure. That's where I wanted to go with that, about Kia's, you know, talking about taking care of yourself and doing things for yourself. This is it's a long journey to get there.
Yeah, and so much shame too.
Yeah, I was going to say to not feel guilty.
That's right.
About looking after yourself.
Yeah. Or
like.
Sorry.
No, you.
I'm done.
Okay, good. Sorry, because I know I have, like, it's a terrible habit, but thanks for bearing with me, y'all. But, like, I get really excited when I, like, hear y'all speak, and I just want to be like, and so, yeah, that just happens. But I was going to say earlier, there was, like, this thing I was reading, there was, like, something, I think it was, like, on Instagram, it was, like, open, like, you know, when people have, like, sort of, like, those open comment things, and it's just, like, they ask a question, they get the responses in, and the question was, like, something around, like, what would you do, women, what would you do if all of a sudden there were no men for, like, a full 24 hours, right? And this is not, like, we're trying to get rid of men, for anybody who likes to play that narrative around queer women. That's not what's happening here. But it was, like, it was incredible that the things that came out were so utterly mundane. It was like, oh, my God, I could go for a walk at night or a jog at night. I could go to the beach and wear a bikini and not feel bad. Like, trans women saying, I could go to the beach and wear a bikini. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And not have people mm-hmm. trying to, you know, say, oh, this one passes, this one doesn't pass, in terms of, like, looking more feminine or less feminine. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous how sad it is. It's like, oh, I can go to dinner by myself and not worry about somebody, like, coming and, like, hitting on me or thinking that I've been stood up. Like, you know, I can go to a bar, I can be drunk and fall asleep in a bush and probably be okay. Like, you know.
Yeah, or just read my book like Marco wanted to do. Just mm-hmm. sit on a bench and just read.
Or go to a restaurant. I'll never forget. When I was in college here, because I did some college home and some abroad. Mm-hmm. And that was, like, when I met you around that time, Margo, like, just figuring out, like, how am I going to do this here, right? I don't know mm-hmm. anything about the gay community. I just don't know what's going on. Anyway, so I'm in COB at the time, and I'm trying to do that thing and trying to figure out how to even be a queer woman. And so I see mm-hmm. all these butch women. I'm like, oh, I guess I'm supposed to do that. Like,
right.
I don't know. Like, I guess I'm going to do that. And that wasn't quite it. So now I was like, all right, I'm going to just date them, you know? And
right.
And there is a like, that gender thing plays with people, right? So the person mm-hmm. I'm with now is a more feminine presenting person, and that experience is different than mm-hmm. when I mm-hmm. dated someone who was a more masculine presenting person. Mm-hmm. And something as simple as trying to go to the Wendy's on campus to get some dinner after dark resulted in a security barring us from entering and pulling out a cutlass in front of everybody.
Okay, wow.
And threatening us. And if you think anybody stand up for us, you lie. Like,
That's disgusting.
We just had to leave. I was embarrassed. I mean, I'm like a kid. I was embarrassed. I was afraid. This is a grown, rusty man. You know what
also,
I mean?
Also, like, bills. Cutlass? Like, yeah. Cutlass. Like, you need a cutlass?
A cutlass.
Like, he people love to say post. Pray the gay away, but apparently cutlass is another option. Cutlass. Thanks, y'all.
He left his post. He went to his vehicle, and he came back with a weapon.
That's disgusting. That's absolutely disgusting.
And so
because
it really
you wanted a sandwich
for me.
You wanted a sandwich
for me, like, what the stakes were Jesus. In this. Mm-hmm. You know, because it was, mm-hmm. I was just getting my little Wendy's. I thought it was cute. I'm trying to figure myself out. And it was like, this is not a safe space to do this.
No.
And so when I say you don't know what you gave me a space mm-hmm. where I could come and figure out mm-hmm. a lot of stuff that wasn't mm-hmm. safe to do on my own.
Well, mm-hmm. yeah. And you know, thank you. And I'm glad that I was able to do that. I also got, you know, I think going, the reason we go away, we stay away is it's, and we go to cities often to be educated and then we end up staying. Is because the city has more space. You know, it's not just island people, you know, going to cities. It's small town people going to the same, staying in the same country that they were born in. And they move to the city because there's greater diversity and much greater tolerance. And it's, there's still people that are not tolerant clearly everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this is why we gravitate, because we really want very simple things, you know, like Natalie said, can I go to the beach and swim without being harassed?
Can I get a Baconator? Like, geez.
Yeah.
For real. You just wanted a sandwich.
I know. It's just really, and I hope that what I'm proud about the National Art Gallery, and I'm sure there are people listening that are like, not feeling that way, you know, and yeah. I want to acknowledge that. I want to acknowledge that everyone, mm-hmm. again, like, has their opinions and their views. And mm-hmm. I think talking about things is a way to hopefully come to some kind of coexistence, if not tolerance, right? But I think it's great that the National Art Gallery is having these conversations and is letting people know in this country that there's a space to talk. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to say that as a national institution, we've always felt, and I'm no longer there, but this is something that while I was there, I felt.
Once NAGB, always NAGB.
Once NAGB, always NAGB, but that it's important for a national institution to be there for everybody. And that might mm-hmm. sometimes be people that don't align with my opinions and views. So mm-hmm. it's not that the NAGB has to be this one space for one kind of people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've also heard like, oh, the NAGB is so gay. Like, no, the NAGB is everything. The NAGB is black, white, female, male, non-binary, mm-hmm. whatever it is, mm-hmm. Feminist, you know, paternalistic, whatever. It's all the mm-hmm. things, because it has to be there for all the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important to say, because I think we tend to, as humans, think if someone says one thing, then that's mm-hmm. it's done. And it's always going back to how we started the conversation, which is, don't just box people or things into one thing. Mm-hmm. We can be many things. We can be a multiplicity mm-hmm. of things.
Mm-hmm. And we often are.
We always have been.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
And also, like, an opinion is like, oh, I want cheese on my Baconator or not on my Baconator. Not like, you deserve human rights or you, right. Or like, you deserve human rights and you don't deserve
human
rights.
Then, like
human rights isn't an opinion. It's just
because
it's
you want cheese on your Baconator doesn't mean everybody has to have cheese on their Baconator.
Exactly. Exactly. Right? Mm-hmm. 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 Really.
The fear, one of the fears that we have is the fear of the complexity itself. You know, the human spirit. We want to reduce everything, right, to these simple tropisms or I don't know if that's the right word, but, you know, very, very basic concepts. And it's not honoring the full spectrum of who we are as human beings. And that's where, you know, that's what I really hope people will, regardless of where they're at, about, especially about queerness, which I know is a difficult subject here, is that they'll come in to that with that kind of presence, you know, of what are my fears? You know, about what are they? Maybe I'm just afraid of how complicated we are, and I don't know how to step into that. But I'm going to try. You know, I'm going to, you know, try to honor my own feelings, my own difficulties and challenges, and you know, what Kia had said about getting help. You know, getting therapy, which I've also done, mm-hmm. and I'm a really strong proponent of that inner path. You know, mm-hmm. we always have things to learn and grow into, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That was so well put. That was so well put.
And unfortunately, that's where we have to end. So it's a great place to end. And I think this exhibition that Natalie put together at the National Gallery of the Bahamas is a great place. I mean, first of all, just, you know, the art's beautiful. So even if, like, that's a conversation you don't want to have, just go look at the nice art. Because there's also stunning art about other stuff too, right? So it's not, mm-hmm. you know, this is one topic of many. Mm-hmm. But it's also a great space. And I think that's what I like about the NAGB. It is a space where we've literally created space for people to think, for people to consider, for maybe to have a conversation that they thought they would never be able to have.
To feel seen.
Yeah.
For once, to feel seen.
So I want to thank Natalie Willis for this beautiful show, Floating Rib, which is on now, National Gallery of the Bahamas. And remember that it's free to go to the NAGB. And I want to thank Kia Poitier and Marco Bethel for being with us this evening and for their wonderful pieces that they have in the show. And I encourage all Bahamians to go see it. And there's other shows there too. So if this is sounding all too heavy for you, go see the other shows. That's okay. We're going to be there.
You can catch up later. You're good.
You can catch up later. So I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. I want to thank you for being here and to the audience for listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I've been your host for this evening. You've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening, and everybody have a great night.